Hey, it's the podcast. We're suffering. Oh, God. But, you know, I'm sorry to do this to you, Rocky. Sorry this is the first episode to have you on, but it's good to have you on. Yeah, how we feeling? How's the whip?
Come on, bro. Wish it was under better circumstances, but always happy to be on here with you boys. Huge fan of the show. You guys are the best, baby, you know. I'm not feeling good, all right? I'm feeling mad. And I'm going to probably scream. That's why I'm in the whip, because I was outside. I was enjoying Boston. I had to do some retail therapy. I had to get an espresso. But I knew that I couldn't be on the streets in this mental state, because I'm going to start screaming. I'm going to get loud. Right? I'm going to get loud on this episode. I know I am.
You start slapping kids in the streets of Boston.
I don't want to take my anger out on these kids, man. Come on.
Yeah, I get that. I'm glad we had like an hour cool down before this episode. If it would have been like right after the final whistle, I don't know what I would have said. I don't think this would have been on YouTube. This might have got taken down.
Yo, are we allowed to cuss on here, bro?
Yeah, go crazy.
Yeah, for it. Just, all right, bro.
Just don't threaten anybody too bad.
No.
All right, Hristo, you're back. I think this is the first time you've been on after a loss in quite a long time. How we feeling?
I'm confused. I think there was no initiative even in the first half. So, you know, me and Rocky are the OG Handanovic. How do I put it nicely?
Hate club?
Let's say that. it's nice to hear back from you guys. And, you know, RB has some nice takes. Most of them are questionable, but still.
Oh, God. Hey, Ian, do you need to clap back at the Handanovic hate, or are you going to let it roll? You let it roll today?
Is I'll,
it
warranted? I'll make my reply later.
Today, man. Yeah, I hope Ian's the first goal.
It's down so bad.
I saw everything. I just have one question. Like, what do you want him to do? Radu is not good
Not
enough.
Dive over the ball?
Goalkeep? Next one. No, like, everyone's shitting on him, but what do you want him to do? He's the only goalkeeper that can play. Onana's not coming in until, like, what, 4 months? He is what he is. I mean, he's not going to change. He's bloody 45 years old.
Kordats was a starter in Serie A last season,
bro. We can still be mad, Kordats.
It's like Barca's in the wind. Nothing's going to change.
Ice cold.
Bro, we are desperate, bro. We ain't talking about Kordats. That's crazy.
Kordats, bro.
But me personally, man, how I'm feeling, I gotta wear this L, because like we were here last episode and I was beating my chest, because honestly, usually this team, they've shown us that at least this season after a loss, they usually come out guns blazing. Yep. and they usually have a performance worthy of like Inter, like I always say. But today, man, Inzaghi has to wear some of it, because he did get it wrong with his setup, in my opinion. And, of course, we could say that a lot of it, well, mainly, most of it is because Brozo was out and he had to make something happen, make something shake with Barella first as a regista, and then he had to switch it up in the second half. But, yeah, we're never able to recover, man. We joke, we have a running joke here on the podcast that, you know, we always start off with a goal down and then we come back. But, you know, we can't be playing around like that no more. As you could see.
Can't do that.
This time we're not able to react, you know, like we tried to react, but they took our best shot. And then by the 75th minute, we could tell this shit was over, because we shot our load and they took it. You know what I mean? So
we did what?
Yep. They nutted, bro.
They took our best shot.
Yeah, they did. No, yeah. Oh my God.
Because this has been the story since Empoli. That Empoli game, the Coppa Italia game, we've been so wasteful and we haven't been able to kill games off. And, you know, we were kind of making results happen, but you know that's not sustainable. You can get by like that for a bit, but it's not going to happen all the time. And champions have to win those type of games 100%. But today we didn't put our best foot forward. And that's the worst part, is that it's coming off that loss to Liverpool. And there were so many positives you could take from that loss to Liverpool, even though it's still an L at the end of the day is an L. But the way that we played, I could say, you know what? We did our best with what we had against Liverpool. But then you come here today, you play the same exact type of game. But this isn't Liverpool. This is Sassuolo. So you need to be more clinical. This is Serie A. Dzeko is 35. I understand, bro. But like, at the end of the day, we chose to rely on these 11. And if you don't bring in another striker, you bring Caicedo to me, Like, I don't know what Inzaghi's doing with these guys he's requesting. Caicedo, Correa, these guys aren't the type of people that can replace the void that Lukaku left along with a 35-year-old Dzeko. It's not happening. It's insane.
No, yeah, you're totally right. I mean, the strikers have been – I mean, I feel like we've been harping on Lautaro, and now, like, we're to the climax of, like, this massive amount of Lautaro questioning and concern.
I'll raise my hand and say, like, I'm off the bandwagon, bro. Like, I mean, I'm actually on the side of the road right now, trying to catch an Uber,
trying to catch the Skamaka train.
That's either Raspadori or Jonathan David or whoever is going to be our second striker. Ooh. That's where I'm at. I mean, I've been a little conservative as far as like my criticism of him, but like this match. Like, it puts me over the edge, and I'm not just overreacting because he's about to be 25, you know what I mean? And I don't want to wait anymore. And the excuses that I've been getting on the timeline as well, that's what pisses me off. People are saying that when he was playing with Lukaku or was this, is that this is Inter, bro. Like, we don't want our strikers to be relying on another player for them to be productive, especially when you have a coach that's so progressive with his football, that's giving guys freedom and that's allowing guys to shine. You know, Inzaghi is supposed to be a striker's coach. You know, you saw what he did with Ciro Immobile. You know, so like that freedom that he's giving you, you're supposed to benefit from it. It's giving you the platform to show your individual skills. And right now, it's like we could sit right now. What are in Lautaro's individual skills? I mean, like, what is he exceptional at?
Pressing. Like, that's about it. That's about it right now. Pressing.
That's it. That's what they always bring me. It's like pressing numbers. Is this? He's a very intelligent player. Like he has a sense of anticipation sometimes that he puts himself in good positions. But other than that, guys, let's be honest. Like, what he's not. He can't win a foot race to save his life. He can't beat people one-on-one.
He might be slower than
Dzeko,
bro. He might be slower than Dzeko. He might actually – today I noticed that this guy might sure be slower than Dzeko.
Bro, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yo, I want to talk about Inzaghi, though. I want to talk about Inzaghi because I'm going to be honest. Like, when Inzaghi was at Lazio, I was not his biggest fan. I thought people kind of overhyped him. Then he comes to Inter, and he completely won me over 110%. I'm like, this is the next generational Italian manager. The tactics of free-flowing football is great. But what I'm starting to notice, and it could, again, our strikers aren't there, so it's not all on Inzaghi because there's no one there to actually put the ball in the back of the net right now. But what I'm noticing is today, for example, it felt like too much freedom. And how much freedom is too much freedom for the players? And I think that's kind of what we're starting to notice. The center backs running up, we're so wide open on the counters. And when you have a goalkeeper like Handanovic, maybe it's good to be a bit more conservative sometimes. You know, maybe it's good to reel it back a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to pose that question. I was going to say, is it like freedom to a fault, at least today? Like, I thought what he did in the second half was interesting. I mean, he shook it up. He threw his like best dice on the table that he had today. Mm-hmm. But when you start with Gagliardini at the center of your midfield, like, I mean, you're already asking for trouble. And I mean, that's because of Brozovic getting suspended, which was going to happen eventually. Like, that guy picks up cards. Like, we know that, but. Yeah. And I saw people
calling. Why don't we have a replacement? You know, that's the question. Is that correct?
I saw people calling for Sensi.
$5 million. $5 million.
Well, Sensi
was hurt this week. Like, I saw Sensi calls, but like he pulled out the Sassuolo match. I mean, not Sassuolo. Yeah. Sampdoria match this week. Like,
I'm gonna have to shoot Inzaghi some bail, to be honest.
Because
the thing is, here's the situation. I don't think it's a freedom to a fault type of issue because, mind you, we conceded on the first shot on goal that they had, you know, and on some stupid shit with the ball coming straight at Andanovic and he jumps and the ball goes literally under him. You know what I mean? So once you concede like that, first of all, the team that scores a goal, you give them belief in their game plan and whatever they're doing. So it's like battery in their back that you're charging. And our team or game plan, whatever it was from the beginning, you have to throw that shit out of the window because you have to activate yourself to try to get a goal. And that's why we opened up the team a little more. And the fact that we didn't have Brozo there as the usual blanket, that's what it is. Like that's definitely what cost us that second goal because we were in transition and we didn't have Brozo that usually does the mopping up for us. So I don't want to say it's Inzaghi because like Mikey said, he worked with what he had. I'm not sure if sending Sensi over was his decision. And even then, since he was unavailable again this week, and Brozo was out, so he had to use either, and Vidal just played 90 minutes in the midweek. So literally, it was Gagliardini or Primavera player. So, I mean, here's
my issue. Go ahead. Here's my issue, though. Gagliardini, for me, would have been much better playing in that Regista role, almost as a holding midfielder, rather than Barella playing there, because Barella can contribute so much more to the attack. So I think one change, that one. Because if there's anything Gagliardini can do, is he can be there. Like, he can just be another dude back there, and he can be physical, and he can just be back there. So that's the first mistake Inzaghi made, in my opinion. But my real issue with Inzaghi wasn't even the goal that we conceded, but it's the goals that we didn't concede that we could have conceded. In that second half, Sassuolo could have gotten another, like, three goals on us at least. Mm-hmm. They hit the post. They were going crazy.
No, I agree. But at that time, it's like we were playing some kind of terror.
We got to fight.
We had no shape whatsoever. That 3-4-1-2, that was my first time seeing it. You know, so that means, and you could tell that they didn't try this shit in training because the players didn't exactly know where they needed to be and all of that. So it was like pretty much him adjusting on the fly, and that it shows in the transitions and all that. We could have conceded many more goals. So yeah, he does take some blame because he is the manager, but then again, it's like I understand what he had to deal with. You know?
Yeah, it's too early to be like in crisis mode. But at the same time, you know, the voices are still there in the back of the head. I'm like, I've seen this guy collapse with Lazio before countless times. Like, he's had some great starts to the season with Lazio and collapse. I don't think he's going to collapse. All right?
Yeah.
But this next game is going to be crucial because you can mess up two in a row. If you mess up the third, you know, like, then you get the question marks start coming up.
No, for sure. But I want to take this time, like, I don't know if he's following right now, but Shams, that's one of my followers, one of our Inter Twitter guys. I'm sure you guys know him. I want to give him a shout out. He was one of the guys that was also pointing out that he felt like Inzaghi's habit may be rubbing off on the team, which I disagree with him, but I just still wanted to give him a shout out nonetheless.
Shout out. You know, it'll be by the next match. It'll be over a month since Inter have won in the Serie A. The last win was the 22nd against Venezia. Like, you can't do that in a Scudetto race. You can do that.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many extenuating circumstances that we've talked about, like, to, like, an end on, like, every match, you know. I mean, a rough part of the schedule, Bastoni out, Brozovic out at random times, Barella out for the Champions League. But still, like, you needed to grind out at least a point here. And not doing that, I mean, yeah, like Rocky said, it's not crisis mode yet, but it's not fun time. It's not fun at all right now. Like, you'd need points, you need goals, and like, I don't see where they're coming from at the moment.
For sure. And one more thing I wanted to add before we get off the Inzaghi topic, it's like, the reason why I'm still like right there, like playing security, defending him. Like, I'm a bouncer for Inzaghi right now. Nobody gets close to him. Like you gotta come talk to me first. The reason why I'm still like that is because when you watch the match, you could talk about all the four or five last matches that we've dropped points, going from Milan, what's next? Milan, Napoli, Liverpool, and today. You see, when you look at the team's performance, we're creating chances. Liverpool, we dominated Liverpool for a part of the game. Napoli, despite us shooting ourselves in the foot to begin the game within 5 minutes, we still fought back and we dominated in some part of the game as well. Milan, everybody knows that we should have won that game. Even Milan fans, they make jokes out of the way they want it. You know what I mean? So I can't blame Inzaghi. He's putting the chess pieces on the board the way they're supposed to be. But when you have Lautaro, like that video that's going doing the rounds right now, that miss that he had, man, like, you can't blame Inzaghi. When you have Dzeko going, getting 1v1 against the goalkeeper, and then like he's trying to sneak it under him or some shit, like, you can't blame Inzaghi, man, because the team is performing, but it's just like the finishing, he can't go on the pitch and do it for them.
Exactly. Also, Concili. Classic.
Come on, man. This guy turns into Buffon, bro. Come on, man. Against Sassuolo every time, bro. Every time.
What's it just gonna take for us to buy this guy, make him our backup, and sit him on the bench so we can get 6 points against Sassuolo every year?
Buy this guy off. I'm tired of him.
Funny thing is, like, when I was watching it on Paramount Plus, and the commentator mentioned that. He said that Inter fans always talk about this guy saves his best matches for for Inter, but he felt like this was a disservice to Consigli because he felt like Consigli was a decent goalkeeper. But then as the match went on, he's like, well, maybe there is something to what the Inter fans were saying.
Yo, this guy must hate this guy, bro.
Bro, I don't know. Maybe we turned him down for a trial or some shit like that. And that's what fueled his career. You never know, bro. Maybe that's his origin story.
That's crazy, bro.
Oh my god, it's insane.
What about our targets? What about Scamacca, Raspadori? What do you guys think of that? Talk to me about that.
I mean that was a hold up striker's performance from Scamacca for me. Like that is I looked at just how big he was compared to our midfielders, how big he was compared to our defenders even. And I'm like, this is the guy you need up there. When Handanovic can't find a pass out of the back, even though it's hopefully, pray to God, not going to be Handanovic next season. But when you can't find that ball, like you need to play something long, you can play it to him. And you've got guys like Raspadori running off of him. You've got Traore running off of him, who has been on fire recently. And like,
He's nice.
Really good winger, but
and to be honest, De Vrij got away with a lot of stuff with Scamacca today because I felt like he was roughing him up a lot. A lot of these things could have been fouls, and the most important thing, like you said, Mikey, his hold up play. We saw that a lot of those counters that Rocky is talking about, they started from him holding up the ball and laying it off. Next thing you know, you see Traore, Tatesi, Raspadori, all of them running full speed at you. I was very satisfied with what I saw. We were talking about the last part, like, okay, we want him to have a good performance, but not score. Shit, what can we do, man? Now, all three of our boys, they did have a good performance, so we can't say nothing. But the most important thing about Scamacca today in the midst of our guys missing sitters is the fact that this guy got one shot and scored one goal. All right?
Yep.
No fluff. One shot, one goal. That's what
we need. No bullshit, he's there.
That's what we need.
That's exactly what we need right now.
That's what we need, so that's encouraging. If anything,
but hard to tie beat. My man was playing like Cardi.
No, Cardi would not have held those.
Scamacca to me is like the Italian Zlatan, bro. I love this kid so much. I die for this kid. He's so technical on the ball too. People haven't seen, like, he can dribble. He is nice on that ball.
We've seen your propaganda, man. We've seen it, Rocky.
Yeah, come on, man.
Ian, now that you started talking, you better say something, bro. About the Sassuolo boys. What did you see?
What is there to say? They ran circles around everyone bar Skriniar. And I mean, even Skriniar at the end was about to throw hands with Berardi.
I want to throw hands with that man.
Yo, sometimes I feel like, I just think to myself, I'm like, how does Berardi feel, bro? He's seen like Sensi go to Inter. He's seen Politano go to Inter. He's about to see maybe three of his homies go to Inter. And this dude is begging to go to Inter every single season. He must feel bad, bro. Like, this man must feel bad. That's just all I can think about sometimes.
But apparently he's a Milan fan.
What? So... I heard he's an Inter fan. What are you talking about?
He's an Inter fan.
I don't know. I heard someone that he's like a closet Milan fan.
That's something that's been well known. Like,
all right.
Oh, that reminds me of someone. Harvey, isn't that your way? You know, closet Milan fan.
Oh, come on!
I've seen some photos of you.
Just dressing red and black, bro. Come on. No, for the people I need to know, my dad is actually a Milan fan. But when I was in Albania, I grew up. So my parents came to the United States before me. So I grew up with my cousins, and my cousin was a huge Inter fan. So my cousin got to me before my dad could. First jersey was the Adriano jersey, the Ronaldo jerseys. So it's like, you know, Inter, those kids got to me first. Sorry, Dad. You know, if you're watching, I'm sorry, but Inter fan for life. Come on.
That's fair. I'm sure that's quite the tension in the house right now.
Oh, yeah.
With this title race going on. I mean, they dropped points. They dropped points yesterday. I know we were all out here yesterday, like, this is where we start to turn the screw. Like, everything's going to get back on track. Like, all we got to do is get past Sassuolo. But then I think we forgot it was Sassuolo. And here we are.
And I'll eat the L, like I said, bro, because credit to the people on Inter Twitter that were saying it. Like, because a lot of people, as soon as the Milan result came up, a lot of people were saying that we're definitely dropping points. We're definitely dropping points. But here I came with my cocky stuff, like, oh, what are you guys talking about? Blah, blah, blah. We just lost to Liverpool. There's no way we're about to lose two matches in a row. But, I mean, my confidence in this team comes from me knowing that we're solid defensively, but the fact that that's gone, that's been gone the past couple months, I can't say that I can't say that I'm that confident anymore, because any given match, Handanovic could just let whatever shot on target go through. As we can see, even if it comes straight to him, he'll find a way to make it go through. At yeah. this point, either Handanovic or De Vrij, in the form that he's been, he could give up a penalty or whatever. So my confidence in this team has reduced tremendously, because what I thought we could believe in, which was that solid defense and back line, if you want to count Handanovic, that's no longer a guarantee, and it's scary, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we were out here last match in Serie A, I believe it was, or the one before that, I forget. Whichever one DeMarco was decent in. And then
he was
today,
nice out there.
Napoli.
Yeah, against
he was
Napoli
nice
today.
Against Napoli.
Yeah, today was not it. You know, he gave Scamacca so much space. I mean, he got in between.
It's a mismatch, though. You know, it's a mismatch.
Yeah,
that's tough.
Yeah,
that's
and tough. I mean, he got in between Perisic and DeMarco. Like, it was good vision, but you know, somebody's got to be there. Like, you got to know that there's a big number nine in the box somewhere, and somebody's got to be putting some kind of pressure on him. Because if you give him a header like that, you know, any competent striker scoring that. Our guys may not score that right now, but anybody else know what was scoring that.
Keyword is competent, you know, so that kind of rules our guys out.
We
saw De Vrij score a better header than we've seen anyone else score this whole season. You know?
Yeah, and then it gets disallowed.
I don't want to speak about De Vrij, bro. I don't want to hear De Vrij's name.
Damn, the feds came for Risto. What's going on?
I don't know. Someone got married.
You go police, bro.
Someone was shooting outside.
And the fact that he looks so suspicious, bro, he's like,
"Yo." The point that I wanted to just point out is that Perisic was awful today. Is it possible that he got his contract that he wanted, and now he's all set and gone? And now he's like, "I got my $5 million a season. Fuck them."
Nah, I mean, I just like think if you go to this guy so many times and like he's playing so much, like he can't do but so much. Like it was just give it to Perisic, let the strikers run, and we'll see what happens. And
I wanted to die.
And mind you, this is a guy that had to deal with Liverpool on Wednesday. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean he ran circles around
for 90 minutes, but still, that tells you that like he was probably due a bad game. You know, that's why I didn't mention it.
Yeah.
You're right, Risto.
He's been
doing
a bad game for a while, bro.
Yeah.
Like, don't forget the old Perisic. Like, think about the old, like, Perisic before the Bayern run. Like, this is what he would do. He'd have that nice game. He'd maybe put up a brace against Hellas Verona, and then he'd go missing for like five games. He was doing a bad game, and I'm okay with it being one bad game because he's been incredible this season. So I'm not mad at it.
Another point that I just wrote down is that Consigli is 35, which is only 2 years younger than Handanovic, and Handanovic has been Finnish for 3 years now. Which means
fuck off.
No, go run stop. That propaganda.
Moving on.
Run
moving
that propaganda.
On.
We're not gonna do this.
No, Consigli's gonna make it into his 40s like Buffon. There's no way he doesn't. He's gonna pull one of those out. He's gonna still be like 43, like making acrobatic saves against us.
You know, I said it many times and I'll say it again. RB, Sia, and I will have a special episode at the end of the season to commemorate, first of all, the Scudetto, and second of all, Handanovic leaving Inter, or at least retiring from his starting position.
Let's do it. We'll bring the champagne.
My final point is that who saved Mourinho's ass, at least on the weekend? The young talents. Inter loaned most of them or didn't give a shot to any of them.
Man, Satriano was not going to do what those two random kids did. That was kind of
what does he have, though? He's like three goals in two games now, though.
Yeah, he scored today, though. Yeah, to be fair. Yeah. Like, he's looking good, but he needs that time out there. Like,
I agree.
If we're trying to throw him into that would have been just.
Bro,
not
but like,
it.
You give chance to Gagliardini week in, week out. You know that you cannot expect a shit from him. Just, you know, give a chance to someone that actually deserves it, someone that works their ass off. And someone will be here next season because Gagliardini is
he'll be here next season. Don't worry.
I know.
Hey guys, bro. Come on.
I hope he doesn't play though.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think Risto has a point, honestly, but I think it goes more to the culture of Serie A in general. I don't even think it's just an Inter problem. But it's like, it's this league where they'll trust a 36-year-old just because tactically he's well-versed and they think he'll be in the right spot at the right time. They won't really trust the youth, okay? Agume's been having a great season. And, you know, the other argument to that is maybe you want him to go have a great season somewhere else just so he can get more consistent playing time. Because, yeah, maybe we'd use him over Gagliardini. We'd swap him in. But he wouldn't fully be able to establish himself. So that's kind of the flip side of that. But at the same time, bro, you got Dzeko, you got Lautaro, and Satriano's probably got more open play goals than both of them this year, this calendar year. Right?
I don't know, like, man. The thing is, like, when we're talking about the Sassuolo kids, for example, Risto, those are kids that, I mean, the system is built around them. They know that they're going to be allowed to play and not allowed to make mistakes. Mind you, this is the same Sassuolo side that lost 4-0 to Sampdoria two matches before, you know, with all those kids starting. You understand? So,
yep.
It's, what's up, Ian?
Dude, this season, Sassuolo have beaten Juventus away, Milan away, Inter away, lost to Bologna 4-0, and lost to, I think, Genoa or someone like that.
It's like up and down.
I'm not comparing Sassuolo though, Dave. I'm comparing someone of the level of, look, when Mourinho, a fucking dinosaur, can change his game and actually trust young players, so can everyone else in the league. And you cannot give, like, a chance after chance after chance to Vecino, who's finished, to Gagliardini, who's dog shit.
Get Vecino out of here, fam.
Come on. So you're talking about the kid, what's his name, Casadei or whatever? He's supposed to be tearing up the Primavera.
You had one more change at the end of the game. Like, make a change. Maybe he'll score. Maybe his confidence will grow. 10 games in a row, he'll get, like, a 10 minutes of a chance, and who knows, by the end of the season, you can have a decent Serie A talent.
I mean, that's a shot. That's a good point. I'm not going to lie.
I think that's what's missing in the culture at Inter.
Exactly. And even Esposito said it in one of his interviews at Basel. He was saying that in Italy, they just don't give young people a chance and all that, no matter how you perform and whatnot. And, I mean, there is some truth to it, Risto. We got to be honest. Especially in a team like Inter, for our expectations, I wouldn't want no little 17, 18-year-old on the pitch shitting his pants. You know what I mean? So I understand. But that's where I'm at on that. Like, unless we have a guy that we know, yo, this is a crack, this is the next big talent, no, whatever, I'm personally not for throwing in a random Primavera player just for shits and giggles. We used to do it with Esposito a lot, remember? Like, just throw on Esposito or throw on Pinamonti late and stuff like that when they were youngsters.
We used to do that with Pinamonti, and now he's scoring 10 goals just as Scamacca does, and we're paying Scamacca 14 million at the end of the season.
Scamacca's goals are a different breed.
Bro, it's not the same thing.
Come on. So, I'm just saying that
he's a mid-table striker. Bro, which is where he's at.
Out of those 9 goals, is 3 of them are penalties.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm not sitting on the man, but he's not up to par.
But he's better than Caicedo, you know? Like, he's better than having Caicedo, 35 years old, loaned in for no reason. That's the type of thing that drives me nuts. That transfer drove me nuts.
But the thing is, I mean, having Pinamonti scoring at Empoli like we do right now, that's going to be something that we use in our advantage to get Scamacca or whatever.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Having him on the bench for as a backup, like last year in Conte, under Conte, he only played, what, 3 matches? 4, if that
didn't fuck with them.
you know what I mean? So at this point, it's like an asset that you have on the bench just depreciating. Now, I'm sure he's going to have plenty of suitors because of his performance. If Sassuolo don't want him in the swap or in as part of the deal, I'm sure another team is going to be interested in Serie A, you know? Yeah. You want to do the comments, Mikey? I see they're going up.
Hey, get the comments up there.
Okay, yeah, we've just been going crazy on the topics ourselves.
We've been enjoying, bro. We're mad. Nah. We got passion right now, bro. Hold on.
Oh my.
Hold on. Rocky saw someone praising him. He said, "Get the comments up."
Get the comments up.
Okay, where do we even start? I will start with the
Give
first
me Lord
one.
Figo. If Lord Figo's out there, keep
no,
Lord
Figo's in here. Figo's in here. We'll get to Figo. He's asking. He wants my ceiling fan, but I'm in Florida, bro. I'm not happening tomorrow. Like,
Figo's usually casing the joint, bro. So look at your background. He about to ask you for your car keys.
We got Mattia, who actually, because he dropped this comment before we even got on live, you know, I got to give some respect for that. He was on time. We weren't.
Oh, shit.
But do you guys think the Liverpool game cost us the performance in the league? He says he doesn't think so, that we've been bad in 2022, not just February. Yeah, I'd like, if anything, the Liverpool game should have been a positive. Boosted but it. Yeah, yep. I mean, we're still missing. I mean, Barella came back. He was fresh. You know, that should have been a boost. Perisic played the whole 90. I mean, that, or I'm not sure if it was the whole 90, but he played the match against Liverpool. He was definitely going to be gassed for this one.
Yeah,
we started Darmian. We started Darmian over Dumfries. Like, there, it did a little, like, it, I think it hindered in a way, but I'm not going to blame this performance on Liverpool. Like, a big team, like, isn't going to care about what happened in the Champions League. They're going to come back and they're going to perform in the league. So, yeah we've been bad in 2022.
To that point, though, I think every single performance Lautaro has been having has been affecting him negatively mentally, because this guy just, it's done. In his mind, it's done. He can't score. And unless, I don't know what has to happen. I don't know who has to come on this earth. I don't know if God has to restart the earth for this guy to forget everything and just put a goal in the back of the net from open play. I don't know how it's going to happen, but he needs to get a goal from open play. It's not going to look good for him, bro.
You could tell it's weighing on him.
Yeah, but, he had one good move in open play. It wasn't even for a goal, but he, like, picked the ball up in the midfield, megged and somebody, and then played that cross-field ball to Perisic. And I was like, all right, that's the starting point.
Bro, listen,
and then he goes and he misses two sitters in the second half.
If you watch a Lautaro highlight, you're going to see little switches like that at least 10 times, because that's his little thing that he does, and it looks good, whatever. But I wanted to touch on Matias' question, but I don't think the Liverpool match could be a reason. I mean, like Mikey pointed out, the fact that we ended up having to start Darmian over Dumfries and Perisic was kind of off pace. Maybe we could say that those guys are getting tired or whatever and stuff like that. But if I wanted to point my finger on exactly what happened to us today, I would say Brozovic. That's definitely what it was today that we missed sorely. We had no direction. He's the guy that pretty much conducts the orchestra. They tried to make Barella do it. Barella tried, but he couldn't. In the second half, we pretty much played without a playmaker. I mean, it was Hakan falling back from time to time. So that's why it looked so disjointed. So to answer Matthias' question, I don't think it was the Liverpool match, but I think we literally lost today because we were missing Brozovic.
I just hope Brozovic doesn't walk in on Monday and say, all right, I want that blank check.
He's putting his dick on the table, man. He's putting his dick on the table. He's putting his dick on Beppe's desk. But, you know, I think even more so than Brozovic, because Brozovic, a huge part. But that's kind of a given. Like, he couldn't play today. We knew that. So we'll take that for what it is. But the strikers, for me, are the biggest question mark on this team. With Brozovic, without Brozovic, like against Liverpool with Brozovic, same exact type of game. Wasteful. I'm going to lose my mind in the strike force, bro. And I don't want to be like, I don't keep beating on a drum. Like, I'm tired, though. I'm just tired of these strikers.
Oh, no, trust me. That's a common drum in this podcast. So we beat that drum every pod, so you're good.
Oh, come on.
You're right on theme.
Ian, can I get you to do a stat for me? Pull up some stats. Benjamin came in with a comment asking, can anyone pull up the XG for Inter in 2022? I don't know if you can find that without going behind the paywall. I guess just add it up, or per game average. Anything about XG this season, or not this season, just this calendar year, or the season. I don't know.
Sure, but give me a minute.
Yeah, whatever you can find. I think that's gonna be a very frustrating stat. Uncle Sharma said, "Why is Rocky so dripped out on us? I'm in my room crying."
Yo, I had to get out here, Sean. I had to get on the streets of Boston. I had to try and make myself feel good, bro. Come on.
Oh my god. Let's see. A lot of Lautaro stuff. Smiley says Albanian excellence on the pod.
That's love.
Who wants to hear some depressing stats?
Before you do that, I just wanted to answer some comments. Some people making some comments about the jersey behind me. I was saying it to my boys before we started recording, before we went live, that from this point on, I'm going to try to give a little message with my jerseys in the back. So there's my jersey in the back. You make of it what you will.
For those, for everyone
the previous episode, I had.
Oh, I was
it's a Lukaku.
Yeah.
The previous episode, I had Lautaro in the background because I felt like he needed the support, and he was going to prove me right. But Let's call a cat a cat, man. Lautaro's a cat. He's not a dog.
To anyone listening, watch the videos as well, not just listen to them. Watch us on YouTube. Catch
yeah,
us
if you can. If you can, you know, if you're driving,
if you
want to
see those
listen.
Sexy jerseys behind the man himself, if
not,
you want to see those sexy jerseys.
Not only
watch.
The sexy jerseys, but the sexy men, and especially Rocky being dripped out with the necklace and all that.
I had to go for the screener too today.
Yeah, bro. I mean, if we do an enough edit, we could just say that we had Drake on the podcast. I mean, we're about to get views.
Gotta get my feedback.
All right, let's go ahead and start our running list of what Figo needs from us. He needs everyone's glasses, Dave's Lukaku shirt, Racky's sunglasses. I think and my ceiling fan.
He likes the ceiling fan. All right.
Ian, I'm sorry I interrupted you. You have some stats for us, right?
Can I share the screen so people watching can
share it, bro?
Can listen to it as well. All right, share entire screen.
Turn off the.
Wait, I got it. All
right, can you see the table?
Yep, that looks like the table.
Okay, so this is from January 1st of this year. Inter are 12th in that time period. 6 games, 2-2-2. We scored 6 goals. Right. Our XG is 11.7. We have been underperforming by 5 goals.
Almost half. I mean, we've missed half the season.
Defense hasn't been that bad. Defense has been actually overperforming. But the offense is just shambles. Utter shambles.
Mm-hmm.
We should have scored twice the goals that we have now. And I bet like half of those are Lautaro goals. To see some of our competitors or Scudetto title.
Animals wild.
Yo, we need that. They're talking about not having dogs. We need that.
Even Milan have, 12 goals and they're expected to have 14. So they only underperformed by 2 goals. Not 6.
And they got 2 35-year-old bums up top.
Are we the biggest underperformers so far?
Probably, I'd say. We can look at safe. Points.
Maybe in all the top 5 leagues, I'd even say. I'd go as far as to say that, just off my eyes, I don't know. No stats.
Where are we on expected points?
See, only 12. Empoli and Genoa are more underperforming than us when it comes to expected points.
Yeah. That's not where you want to be.
Empoli are going 4.5 points lower than they should be. Genoa 3.8, and we're here with 2.7.
I thought Empoli's been having a good season, though. I'm kind of confused about that.
Yeah,
but this is from January 1st.
Yeah, this is from January 1st. If we look at the whole season, we haven't been as underperforming. We only scored 1 less goal than we should have, as the stats say.
Well, I guess that would that mean that we were overperforming in the first half?
I thought we were overperforming in the first half, and I'm not going to lie to you. That's like something that was in the back of my head. I'm like, you know, we lost Lukaku. It doesn't look like we've missed a beat. But come on, like the goals are coming out everywhere except for the strikers. Like Dzeko's having goals here and there, Lautaro here and there. But the team was just scoring so much. And at the end of the day, we were really dispersing who got the goals, right? But that's not always going to happen. Like that's not a way to kind of move forever. But I don't know. We'll see how everything turns out.
Look, we can talk all about it if we want. But it has been clear since the 1st of January, before that, we have scored 5 more goals than was expected. We have conceded 3 goals less than we were expected. And we have gotten 4 more points than the stats expected us. Fucking Milan got 10 more points than they were expected. But since January, apparently it's kind of normalizing itself. And yeah. I mean, you could argue that Milan are massively overperforming as well, scoring 7 more goals.
They are.
They should have.
They are.
They got 10 more points than they should have, you know, but... Yeah. It's the stuff champions are made of, you know.
But what about Napoli? What can we say about Napoli? That's who I consider, you know, the biggest, like...
Nah. Spalletti? Winning a Scudetto?
That would be the biggest embarrassment of it all, right?
That would be humiliating. I think Pioli... No, wait, hold on. Pioli would be even more humiliating, I think, because I think Spalletti's still a better manager than Pioli. Pioli would be the most humiliating. Yeah. I think Juventus is still... For me, Juventus were the favorites before the season started, and I think they're still in the race.
I agree with Arby. I said that weeks ago. I think they're a card, but they've been so bad even against Torino. You know, when Inter drops points and Milan does.
Okay, but also our boy Bremer, I mean, he was shutting down Vlahovic in that. So.
Yeah, I mean, I could officially say that, I mean, at this point, you could say that the Scudetto race is wide open. It's us, Milan, and Napoli, because our identity, we've definitely lost it, man. Like, we're just shooting ourselves in the foot from match to match. Literally, the last three matches, you could point to De Vrij's mistake, Andanovic's mistake on the Milan goals, De Vrij's stupid penalty on Osimhen, Napoli, and then Andanovic doing whatever he was doing today. Like, so that's not our Inter. And this is literally the last three league matches. You know what I mean? So we're developing a bad pattern here. I like talking about pattern and identity. We need to slap the hell out of it right now, or else it's gonna be embarrassing.
I have a hot take.
Oh, go for it.
We aren't losing our identity. We're gaining it back. When we lost Conte, he made us overperform for two seasons, and now we're back to our mediocre selves.
Oh, come on.
Really?
You saw what Spalletti was doing. Before him, it was Pioli. Before him, it was De Boer and Mancini. You know,
but that was an Inter, bro.
You can't compare these guys to those.
That's not Inter, bro.
That's more of a lukewarm take.
To Mancini, you compare him to Mourinho. Don't compare, like...
It's not, but given the trend of the last, 12 years, you know, it started with Rafa Benitez and then...
Boo!
Boo!
For real, I needed that. I'm just saying, man.
I mean, he did say it was a hot take.
No, it's not a return to mediocrity. It's, you know, it really is this thing, like I said it, I think I've said it the past 2 weeks now, like, it's things that are undoing us are things that we didn't, that it's not like we didn't know were problems. We knew these were issues. We knew the strikers weren't going to be, you know, the most reliable. We knew the defense, or now we know there's something up with De Vrij. We knew Handanovic was Handanovic. We knew Gagliardini was Gagliardini.
Oh, I knew about De Vrij, bro. I knew about De Vrij, bro.
Yeah, you've been a De Vrij truther for a while, we know.
What do you guys think we need to do to get back on track, though? It's like the doom and gloom is there. What's the way forward here? What do you guys think we can do with what we have, you know?
Oh, six points in the next two matches.
We got the perfect doom and gloom, I mean, way to get back on track, bro. Like, Genoa and Salernitana. Listen, those are two teams that were supposed to... Let me not say it, bro, because... At the end of the day, bro. At the end of the day, I see what Milan did yesterday. I'm not gonna jinx this team anymore, because I'm telling you, I don't trust.
It ain't easy out there, bro.
I'm literally losing my trust. You guys are watching me lose my trust in this team live on air, because I was about to say, man, those are two matches that we could just slap them around just to get our confidence back. But I don't feel confident to say that. If Genoa could build up something and get a shot on target on Andanovic, fuck knows what's gonna happen, you know, and I'm sure that's gonna
Genoa
be their game
plan. Drawn their last four matches. Salernitana have drawn their last three. No wins in their
bro,
last
bro, I was out here screaming, bring me Jurgen Klopp. Bring me Jurgen Klopp right now. We're gonna slap this guy. We're gonna teach this guy what pressing looks like. I was out here screaming that, and now I'm not even confident to speak on Salernitana, all right? That's where we're at right now. Dave and I, we're confident people. You know, we like to speak up. We like to support our team that way. But, you know, when we don't have a lot of words to say, you know, there's an issue, all right? Come on.
Yeah,
it's not
that's
looking
pretty
good
true.
Out there. It's not looking good out there.
Ricky says that if the strikers...
What do you guys think Gosens will add to the team? Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, Ricky thinks that once we get the strikers back, that we'll be back on track. But what does them getting back on track look like? Like,
I'm sorry. In the comments, we bullied Ricky into changing his username from the 2011 Xbox name to Ricky Real. I'm sorry. I just find that hilarious. What did you say Gosens, what he will add to the team? Are we doing the...
Yeah,
what
we'll do Gosens.
Do you think he's going to help us get out of this? What do you think it'll look like?
I think he can score more than Perisic, honestly. I think he adds a little bit more speed than Perisic does. I mean, Perisic is a quick guy, but I feel like Gosens can get in behind even more efficiently and cut in, which is something we need, because Perisic is on his best when he's going wide, in my opinion. I mean, we know he can do both, but Gosens will add that. I just wish there were a way you could get both of those guys in the match at the same time. But, I mean, when your two best players right now supposedly are left backs, I mean, what can we do?
There's a way. Ask Mazzari what he did with Dalbert.
Oh, well, yeah,
get,
hopefully
get, that... in that, get one of them in that box to box, baby. Get one of them in that box to box. That'd be crazy. No, I don't know. But that's what I'm trying to think. It's like, was Gosens the right move? It was definitely an opportunity buy, right? But it, yeah. Can this guy get us out of the slump? He's going to add assists for sure, I think. I think he's going to be like turbocharged on that left wing. I don't know, though. The question is, how are we going to get goals back into the team? Right now, it doesn't look like it'll come from the striker, so it has to come from somewhere else. What? Will that somewhere else be Gosens? Can Caicedo come up? These are the big questions after the Mercato.
When we were slapping around Salernitana, blowing away Roma, all this, you know, goals were coming from our midfield and our wingbacks. Now that the goals from the wingbacks and the midfielders have dried up a little bit, I mean, it just makes our strikers look even worse because they were chipping in from time to time. But now that it's all on them, you know, it's too much for them. We need other guys to score and take that pressure off of them in a way.
It's like when you first start a job and then you're like, since you're training, your coworkers are helping you do your job and stuff. And then after a while, it's time for you to do your job. That's what it is with the strikers, man. Like, we've been giving them passes. We come in here and joke, oh, my God, we're so wasteful, blah, blah, blah. We're so wasteful, but we're still going to win the league. Now it's at a point where we need goals from the people that are there to score goals, and they're not providing it. I mean, it's ironic how things could be. But on a serious note, guys, I think the schedule is finally smiling upon us. And Ian, I'm going to need a clip of when I told you guys not to be too confident about Sassuolo, because you know I like to pat myself on the back. But now, yeah, bro. The schedule is finally smiling upon us, man. Like, those two matches, I don't think we're going to have much issues with them. Like, today, we could literally point at the players that were going to give us issues with Sassuolo. They have a decent squad with super talented players, as we know. But Genoa, when you look at the Genoa squad or Salernitana, like, those are teams that we should be able to steamroll, and hopefully we get our mojo back. And also getting Gosens back and Correa as well, that's going to give us a boost, hopefully, and go from there. But Gosens, to answer your questions, Rocky, I feel like, personally, it's just going to be him playing himself back into shape for the rest of the season type of shit. So I'm not expecting much from him. Maybe if we throw him on late, 80th minute in the match, he probably score a header, because that's his specialty. He has good timing and stuff like that. But I don't expect bombing up and down the pitch Gosens, at least not this season.
Being that aerial threat would be huge. Like, I mean, you can play the ball, you know, long into Perisic, and he'll win it most of the time. But with Gosens, I think you have someone who is better at winning that ball and maybe can flick it on to Lautaro, who maybe he'll start running for once. Maybe, you know, him and Dumfries somehow strike up a good partnership and something happens from there. I mean, you never know. If we have these two wingbacks that can really cut in and really get into the box, like, maybe there's something there. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too hard on Perisic.
Perisic is still the main man? You guys think Perisic is still going to be the main man for the rest of the season?
I think we'll see a mix. And I think there will be a chance for Gosens to make himself the main man. Whether, you know, he can do it or not, whether Perisic, you know, really wants to keep that spot, I mean, that'll be up to those two guys. I think there's going to be a battle, and I think that both of them have qualities that help the team in different ways. It's just going to be which one sparks the team the most in this, like, you know, backstretch last nine of the season.
On a side note, we are playing Genoa on a Friday evening game, and Milan are playing the 6:45 game on Friday evening, which means that when Milan are playing Udinese and then Napoli. Napoli is playing Lazio next weekend and Milan after that. So two huge games for them, and we're playing Genoa and Salernitana.
I mean, we are going to the Marassi to face Genoa.
It doesn't matter.
I usually don't worry about those things, but right now, you know, I thought today maybe playing at home would be a boost. It wasn't the boost I thought it would be, but I don't know. Maybe this team probably really needs that crowd behind them. Like, if there's traveling supporters, they better be loud.
I I mean, we have Gagliardini in our team, and he's always scoring against Genoa.
That's true. That's the only reason why we're keeping him in the squad in the first place, for those Genoa matches. You know,
it's Genoa. 6 points.
But, you know, we've said it a lot. We've said it a lot on this podcast. I think Rocky can also agree with this. Like, we know Inzaghi for being the guy who can beat up on the small teams. Like, I mean, he made his name beating teams like Spal, like 6-0 with Ciro Immobile hat tricks for years. I mean, we've seen him beat the small teams with Inter now. Like, this is where, you know, we talk about champions being made. I mean, when the schedule lightened up for Conte, I mean, it was a little bit earlier in the new year. The schedule lightened up, bulldozed everybody. This is going to be the test for Inzaghi. It's all right. Well, you know that you can overwhelm smaller teams. I mean, we thought that we could do that against Sassuolo, but Sassuolo are an enigma this season. Like, these are the truly smaller teams, and if you can feast against them, the Scudetto is yours, because we've seen Milan slip up against small teams. Napoli, I mean, there's always a slip up somewhere in there. I mean, they still have Spalletti. It's just going to be a matter of time. And also Napoli is still playing Barcelona in Europa League. So, yeah. I mean, there are some factors.
Yep. Yeah, again, for me, it's my eyes are on Allegri. I don't think I'm too worried about Milan or Napoli personally with those managers. I think Allegri is someone that's proven that he can come back even when his team looks like they're out of it. So that's what I'm worried about.
I just don't think
he has enough. Spalletti chokes small games usually. That was my biggest problem with him at Inter too. He'll go in, like, in the big games, he's nice. Like, say you're playing Milan. I'm not worried in the big games, minus Juventus. He wasn't the best against Juventus, but that's it. Small games, always choke them. And I think there'll be more of that for Napoli. I think Pioli, it's kind of the same thing where you can't really rely on him consistently. So my eyes are on Allegri and that Juventus team. That's what I'm checking for.
For me, I don't think Allegri has enough personnel-wise in that Juve team still. I mean, Vlahovic is a great striker. We all know that. But I don't see enough in that midfield. Zakaria was a decent pickup. But, I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. They still play so negative, and part of that, of course, is Allegri. But I don't know. I feel like they don't have enough to provide service, especially if Dybala is going to be out because he left injured in their last match.
Yeah. No, I'm with Mikey on that as well. Especially watching them last match, like, yeah, they played so negative. They scored in the corner, and then they pretty much packed it in for the rest.
I mean, we know Allegri can win like that, but he does that when he has players, like players.
Not only that, but I think the league has changed the last couple of years. It's like every team now is playing some kind of attacking football or has some kind of courage. Torino is not that Torino anymore under Juric. That was a team. That's a team now that plays ball, that dominates, and they were a good value for their win. They can even argue that they probably deserve the. I mean, deserve the win. But
it seems like Dave. Sorry, it seems like both Torino and Verona, profited from the coaching changes. Torino is playing much better football now, and Verona are playing free flowing football with Tudor and the helm. So yeah.
No, I like him for real.
Do you think there's any chance of slip-ups next week from Napoli and Milan? I mean, we talked about Udinese and Lazio being who they face. Lazio, very hit-or-miss side. Udinese are a decent side. Do you think that there's any chance to catch ground, or is this just going to be like we win here and then hope that we get a good result in Napoli-Milan the next week?
Personally, yeah, I think that at least one of them will drop points next week. Lazio, every time I've seen that Lazio are about to play one of our rivals and I put faith in them, they've always let me down, so I'm not even going to say anything. But Udinese, they do have a tendency of playing Milan tough. And Milan, like watching them yesterday, they couldn't even break down Salernitana. Yes, today we're complaining about sitters our guys were missing because we were creating chances. But Milan fans can't even complain because they were not creating anything against Salernitana yesterday, you know? So, I feel like Udinese, if they have one of them days that they're well organized, Milan are going to struggle. They might concede on a set piece. So hopefully it does happen. But if they do win, that's our fault as well because we had our chance today and we shit the bed. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. I think we've pretty much covered everything. Let's see. There's one more question I'll get to. It's about Correa. Kuku Torreira should be back soon too. Will he make a difference? I think so. I think we've been missing even just having another striker. Yeah, Pupu Perea, whatever you want to call him. We need him back just because we need another option. Like right now, like Lautaro's shitting the bed, but he can almost sit there and be like, well, what are you going to do? Start Alexis and Dzeko every match? Like start like that. That's a combined age of like 80 in your front two. You can't have that. But I just think having one more option.
I need that kid to step up, bro. I need Correa to step up. He sold his dreams against Alex Verona. Straight up sold his dreams. I've seen this man pull out a header. Before he scored that header, I didn't even know he was tall. Like, I always thought this dude was like a short dude. I'm like, oh, shit, this dude's over 6 feet tall. Like, what the hell's going on here? And I was like, I didn't even know he had that in his arsenal. Little did I know he doesn't have it in his arsenal. So, whatever. But he needs to step up big time, right? This guy needs to step up. I know he's been having injury issues. Maybe a little bit of confidence issues too, but everybody's playing so badly, it's almost begging. Like, we're begging him to take the reins and do something. And this is going to be his best chance.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think if you have Gosens, if you have Correa, if you have Dumfries, these three guys running in behind, I think that gives Dzeko, Lautaro, Alexis, I feel like that gives them a different angle. Like, that would be, maybe they could get goals if everyone else is cutting it back to them, maybe, or something. Like, there's got to be something.
I mean, but Lautaro missing,
put it in the back of the net, bro.
Chances from 1 meter out, is there,
he's lucky he was offside. I think he was offside on that one, right? They called somebody offside on
that.
I think he was, but it was still embarrassing.
Yeah,
with the Lautaro miss.
Yeah, both
no, 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 no. I don't think that one was offside. I know the Dzeko one where he pretty much got blocked by Consigli, like one on one. They call that back offside. But Lautaro, I thought that one was good. Like, that would have been good.
I don't know. I remember a flag going up after.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I think I remember a flag, but maybe I'm tripping.
Yeah, Mandela effect hitting hard.
One more thing,
because he grabbed his knee after he did the classic. I missed. Oh, I'm injured. No, you're not injured, bro. You just fucking suck.
Well, then his penalty flop, like, he plays for Juventus towards the end of the match. I was like, come on, bro.
Yo, we
don't do this here. We don't get these here. You know,
he lives on the ground, bro. He lives on the ground.
Bro, I tweeted that out. I was like, yo, he's trying to buy a penalty. At this point, it's like, that's when you know you've hit rock bottom as far as your confidence goes. He doesn't believe in his abilities anymore to the point where he's like trying to get bumbled over and buy a penalty.
Bro, he shit himself against Van Dijk, bro. He literally shit himself against Van Dijk. He saw Van Dijk and shit. It was the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen, and it's not what Inter strikers do.
Nah. I mean, go at him, lose the ball, whatever. You know what I mean? But
yeah, I don't fight him, bro. I don't care. Come on.
All right. Well, I think we're pretty much. One more thing. All right.
I just wanted to give shout out to RB's favorite striker who, left Rome for Palma de Mallorca, and actually scored today again. So that makes 2 goals in 2 games.
Mauricio.
And absolutely, yeah.
The goat. The goat.
He would have been a great signing for us.
Of Serie A. I think he would have, bro. Come on.
Get the hell out of here.
Romanian Zlatan.
Oh my god. No, but Rocky, thanks so much for making some time even after this loss. Like, real braver than the troops for that one, bro.
Bro, I had to come out here, bro. I had to come out here, I had to vent. All right. You guys were like therapy for me. I got to scream and I got to get a little bit angry. It was a good time. Come on.
Yeah, is there anything you want to plug? Anything you want to shout before we get out?
Yo, come on. You know I gotta shout Civitas FC. If anybody doesn't know, what we're looking to do is we're looking to start a decentralized organization and purchase a football team. We want to give the power to the fans and have a fully fan-run team. And our big things are, people having actual equity in the club and actual decision-making power, baby. Hey, that's right. And that's my boy Ian. He helped us with the website, too. That's the dog right there. But that's the big thing that you see in the game nowadays. It's like, even Socios comes out, and they're our shirt sponsors. Shout out to Socios. Big love. But the decisions that they let the fans make, they seem to be superficial. It's like, pick the bus color. All right, cool. But like, how about deciding on transfers? How about really being intertwined with the club and, picking up a team, helping build them up and feeling like you are the owner? Because the fans really run this game at the end of the day. You saw how COVID affected all these teams. Everything. It's like the entire economy. Put the money to the fans. Put the power back to the fans. Put it back to the fans.
Yeah. You know, if that's your thing, check him out. Check out Civitas FC. I mean, Rocky's got all the links. We'll post a link. We'll make sure, you know, everything's linked up. And yeah, thanks so much. Anybody else? Parting comments, Dave, Ian, Risto?
I'm at a loss for words. Parting comments.
You're just looking at the money right now. You're seeing the team. Like, damn, I'm
being
an owner.
No, my parting comment is that, hey, listen, like I said during the episode, I'm sticking by it. Like, I'm officially off the Lautaro wagon, regardless of what he does for the rest of the season. Hopefully, it is true that Arsenal or Man City do want him, and we could get 60 to 65 for him. And we go right back to Sassuolo and tell Sassuolo make it three instead of two for us, you know? Because I don't think we're missing out much if we have Raspadori up there. At least he could put a player on. He could make a through ball or something. So far, Raspadori, after he scored against us today, he has, I think, 8 goals, 5 assists.
Yeah. That's not bad.
That's with zero penalties. You know what I mean? So don't scoff at him. That's a 21-year-old, and that's the age Lautaro was when he got to Inter. You know what I mean? So put everything in perspective. It's okay to realize one of our boys is not developing into what we hope he was going to develop into. Mm-hmm. But at this point, that's where I'm at with Lautaro. I'm giving up my chances of him becoming world-class. He's seeming to be a very limited player. And the fact that people are making excuses for him, saying that he was better because of Lukaku, he's going to be better with a fast partner and stuff like that. We don't need a player that's going to come munch off of other players for him to be good. Raspadori seems to have that individual brilliance, something that he can create for himself and others. So I'm fully on Raspadori or even Jonathan David or whatever, but I'm off the Lautaro.
I'm on Broya, baby. Give me Broya. Give me Broya. Shout out to my homie. Killing it at Southampton.
Lautaro Martinez. That's what we want. Excommunicated from the Church of Dave.
He's out.
From the Church of Pastor Dave. He's not
a Chelsea. Hit us up, Chelsea. We'll give you another one of our strikers. You guys can get the Lautaro Lukaku partnership back.
No, for real.
Broya out here. It's money in the bank. It's money in the bank. Everybody wins. We love you guys. Come on.
Sharma also has the t-shirts already designed, so one less worry, you know. Just do it. Just,
yeah,
just
right, we'll give you Sharma's t-shirts too. We'll give you Sharma's t-shirts.
All right. Ian Hristo, parting comments. Are we good? We landed.
I just wanted to ask, Arby, will we have as a podcast, you know, place in Civitas when you buy Inter eventually? Yes,
bro,
or no?
I would love. So the dream here is, bro, that we kind of run like a media empire almost. So I'd love it if you boys were under the Civitas umbrella, and I want us to be able to cover every league. That's the dream. And you guys are, for me, it's the best Inter coverage there is. It's an amazing panel. So we'd love that. And I'm down to talk to you guys anytime about that. But that's, you know, I think that's the best way to push the message is go at every single league, look at the leagues, and try and win over fans from all around the world. Because that's what we want to do. We want to build a really global team. And those are the best teams, the teams that have a global presence. So if the community's there and we're all together, better for everybody, you know? So I'd love it.
Absolutely.
Great message.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much hour 3, our average time. I'm sure Rocky wants to go shop some more, get his retail therapy out, like he said. So
gotta get it out, bro.
You're a trooper for being in the car that long, man.
I'm coming.
All right,
yeah,
y'all.
Bro, come on. I have to do it for you boys.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Roll the outro.
Let me make sure I don't kick you out and I actually put you the full screen and you can give us our outro. go for it.
All right, cool. Where do we start? YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, share, turn the notification bell on so you never miss a live stream and an upload. Follow our very special guest today at Not Champagne Papi on Twitter. Follow his project at Civitas FC. Great stuff. Check out the website. I made it, by the way. Check out our Twitter, you know, at BOTWpod. You have all our private links, all our private Twitters in the description. Christo's accountant project coming up soon. Is what do we call it? His OnlyFans project coming soon. In our description, you have a link to all our socials. In our description, we have a link tree to all our socials. Check it out. We post regularly, mostly on Twitter. All our hot takes are there. And with that, thank you for watching us. Handanovic, the greatest goalkeeper of all time, and we'll see you next time.